Welcome to Phone Boy Speaks, a short, irregularly produced podcast about whatever happens to be on my mind. Whenever I talk with Sir Chris Wilson, the conversation goes in many directions, and you know, ostensibly we were talking about health, and so this snippet we did get into why seed oils are bad, and I'll have some links in the show notes for that. But then we go back to music, and you know, and he is the drunkard minstrel, and I'm sure he's going to correct me and say, "Yeah, you said all that wrong." But anyway, we'll drop back into my conversation with Sir Chris Wilson about health, ostensibly, but then you know, of course, it goes off the rails. So it's actually linoleic acid is what it is actually
linoleic acid. Yeah.
So in stearic acid is you know, maybe a better thing, right? So fats that are full of linoleic acid, and that's, you know, that might be part of the problem with seed oils that they're high in linoleic acid, which is maybe not so great for you. And then the stearic acid might be better. Now, linoleic acid happens in nature, but it's, you know, probably not the, you know, to the same degree that you'd find in things that are eating species appropriate diets and that kind of thing. Now, interestingly enough, linoleic acid doesn't, so even in like the most horrendously raised beef you could possibly find, right, it's still fairly low in linoleic acid, whereas chickens, which we talked about before, is, you know, the Costco chickens or the Willy's chicken that's $9, and you know, that's probably very high
tortured chickens.
Yeah, the torture. Call them what they are. Yeah, the tortured chickens, right? Yeah. So the linoleic acid is actually what probably makes you was probably making you fat. And I know in this, I will link to this particular podcast in the show notes because it's one of these 2.5 hour jobbies, but there's, there's a study that's linked in there, and it's funny because they could use this study to basically say, it really doesn't matter whether you eat low fat or high fat. Well, because you get roughly the same results. Well, it turns out that the way that the fat that they used in this particular study was actually, it was like soybean oil, which is full of linoleic acid. And so, yeah, you kind of, knowing that when you go into it, you realize that, yeah, the people that actually did better were the people that were eating low fat and high carb because they were not eating all that linoleic acid. Whereas the high fat people were eating a lot of linoleic acid, and your body, you know, that's, won't say it's completely poisonous to the body, but in large quantities, it's probably not so great. And that may be what's actually the problem with seed oils, that plus, if you understood how they're made, you would realize that you should never eat these things because, or consume these things, because it's toxic waste. They figured out how to make edible. Look up the history of Crisco and how they made this stuff, and you just kind of go, yeah, don't eat that.
We never actually had Crisco here in Australia for quite some time, and all of a sudden it's just popped up. It's sort of like it's here. You see Crisco oil. Like I'll buy vegetable oil, like a generic vegetable oil, and it's made from vegetable. And we've got sunflower oil, and we know they're made from Australian sunflowers. They're pretty good. If you buy olive oil here, it's not loaded with other things to pack it out. Buying off Aldi is handy because they kind of have to follow EU regulations as well as our food labeling regulations. Our food labeling regulations are fairly good. They have been watered down a little bit, but they'll force things like, oh, you have to say how many calories are on there, and they'll go, yeah, okay, but we're turning all the nasties into numbers. So now you need a number. A number table to work out what the additives are, like aspartame or sulfur dioxide or whatever it is that they throw into different things to preserve things. We've got lamb here, and we've got very good lamb. It's all mostly grass fed, a little bit of grain fed, but mostly grass fed lamb, and that's pretty good. And I can go down to Wright's Butchers, who is a wholesaler, and I can go and get Greenham's grass-fed Tasmanian eye fillet steak, and I'm going to be paying about $48 a kilo for the stuff. But you don't need much. And that's the thing is the decent meat I've found. You eat it, and you feel satiated.
Yeah, and we don't focus on that enough.
No, it's this satiation. This is the thing is reaching satiation. Going back to the Tony Robbins thing, when I shed the 80 kilos, when I really shed about 20 kilos of fat and put on about 5 kilos of muscle, it was funny, the Tony Robbins thing, and he was talking about conflicting two things. He talked about, one was conflicting priorities, is you're wanting to feel healthy, but you're wanting to feel sort of satiated. You're wanting that dopamine hit. And it's substitute, and the way to deal with a lot of addictions for people who are addicts and who seek dopamine hits is to replace an unhealthy dopamine hit with a healthy dopamine hit. And so I replaced, I did meal replacements and not meal replacements. I cut down my eating, and I put my focus on the fact that I wanted to shape up, and I needed to get myself back together. I was turning 40. I was hitting the midlife renaissance. I wanted it to be a midlife renaissance, not a midlife crisis. And so, I've managed to keep my life a midlife renaissance, and it's been great. But I've let myself go, going for the dopamine hits, not going for the dopamine hits that are food based, and that's what's happened. And just combination of being lazy and not being, I guess, not being so focused. But if you using the Tony Robbins trick of focusing on what you want and prioritizing that, and then working towards that, putting meaning behind why you want that, gives you more cause to go, well, I don't necessarily need that dopamine hit, because I'm getting a dopamine hit focusing on what could be or what will be once I go through this small bit of discomfort. And that's the thing. That's the thing that if anybody wants to achieve, greatness, it's all the things that are just good and comfortable in your life that stop you from focusing on what you really, really want to get. And I guess I've just been comfortable for the last 10 years, that's for sure. Once I got over the initial thing, I never got back hardcore into my fitness, sadly. But
there's nothing that says you can't start.
Exactly. In all honesty, if you go back and listen to my singing, my early singing is really shit. It's only bit shit these days. It's kind of like I can pass myself off as a bad singer. If I wanted to try out for something, and that's really been over the last, when I start doing tunes for No Agenda, that's been what, 3 years, I think, coming into 4 years now. Yeah, I'll be coming into 4 years. I haven't done much this year. I haven't done much singing this year. But that's 4 years. It takes you 5 years or something to master something. 5 years or something.
The bullshit 10,000 hours,
10,000 hours. Guitar. I mean, I was a bass player. I was a good bass player. Certainly very competent and worked, I was able to work professionally should I choose a life of poverty and misadventure. But I stuck with having a day gig and playing part time. The difference between a full time musician and a pizza is a pizza will feed a family of four. Pizza.
Yeah. It's like my dad said when he said you can make a living as a musician, that and three other jobs.
Yeah, exactly. But if you play as a musician, it's a great top up. It is a good top up because I go out, I get to play music, I get to hang out with drunk people, I get to get a bit drunk myself occasionally if I'm feeling less than professional. And I get a a wad of cash at the night. It hasn't, hopefully it hasn't cost me anything to, hasn't cost me anything in terms of drink or food. So I've been able to kind of feed myself with a bistro meal, and I've had a rider, and I've had, had a rider, and I've had a good time. And then I go out, and I don't particularly want to go out and necessarily socialize, you know, on my own coin. The other thing it taught me is being a musician. Is if you want to do well, I mean, if you just want to screw around, you can do that. But if you want to do, I don't take myself seriously. I certainly take what I do seriously, is what jobs allow you to drink on the job? Not many. So why should you be drinking as a, I mean, yeah, you can have, maybe you have one or two, maybe you can get away with that. But ultimately, you're being paid to do a job. And if you do a job, you need to be in the best, you know, you need to be doing it at your best, your personal best. And so I learned to go into bars and not drink alcohol. And that's also been a bit of a godsend. So I'm not forced to necessarily follow the crowd. And I've managed to go, I think the longest I've ever gone is I've gone 3 months without drinking, just gone no alcohol and for 3 months. And I didn't have cravings. What I did is I did miss not being able to drink. I missed having the freedom, the option of not drinking. Of having a drink or choosing not to. That's the only thing. It was like, okay, I've made a commitment. And again, these cases were a case of, one was a case of losing weight and no alcohol. Best way to lose weight is to not drink. That's the first, step one, stop drinking. And the other one was with the crazy ex, and I questioned my stepson's alcohol consumption, and then they said, oh, well, can you stop drinking? You know, you're an alcoholic. And I said, oh, I can stop drinking now. And I had a half a glass of wine there, and I put the glass of wine down and I left it there. I didn't tip it down the sink or anything. I just left it there. And I didn't touch alcohol for 3 months until I was just like, what the heck? I've proved a point. Yeah, I said, that's right. They admitted I'd won. And so I said, okay, I'll have a drink now. And so that's what I said, I make the joke. My name's Chris, and I'm an alcoholic. And I know this is a podcast with Phoneboy and not a 12-step program, but I've never been to a 12-step program where somebody's come up to me afterwards and said, "Hey, Chris, that was really brave of you to open up to us like that. Let me get you a drink."
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. That came from I took an interest in stand-up comedy. It's part of learning to sing, and it was part of learning to be a front man. And I thought I'd give stand-up comedy a go, because music and comedy are similar, except you get to hide behind something. But you have to lug a lot of gear, whereas stand-up comedy, you get to you've only got a microphone to worry about, and you've only got about 40 on a proper decent paid gig. You've got anything for a headliner, just a spot 50, you do 15. If you're getting a good chunk of cash, you're doing 45 up to an hour. Whereas to get decent money, I can do a 45, but usually I'm doing four hour spot. But the thing with music is you can do a cover of a song. You can always go and do, Take It Easy by the Eagles, and nobody's going to complain. And you can learn a lot from that. You can play different styles of music, and you can learn how to write music by playing other people's music. Whereas with comedy, you're not allowed that. You can't go and do a Louis C.K. set or a George Carlin set or anything like that. You can't just go and pick go and rip off a set, which is a shame because it teaches you a lot about comedic timing, how to deliver what you can deliver, what you can't. And there's a lot of subtlety in there. So it's quite hard, and that really scared me off jumping in, because you've got to dig in some really, really dark places to come up with ideas. Whereas what I've found is this little hack, this little gap where I can take somebody's joke and I can put it to somebody else's music and I can rewrite the things and everybody loves it and says, oh, you're brilliant. It's original. I mean, monetizing it outside of on stage is a little tricky. And what I do is questionable in that there's the fair use doctrine says I'm allowed to parody things. This is way off topic, but we'll cover it, and I think it's important to cover. The parodies is the fair use, you've got parody. So I can parody a song provided I'm parodying it myself. So I can parody a song that to make it a parody of itself. So a classic example of what is fair use is Weird Al Yankovic's Achy Breaky song. So it makes fun of the song itself. His version of I'm Fat by Michael Jackson, he needed permission from Michael Jackson's publisher and Michael Jackson to rewrite it because it's now considered a derivative work, which is why he never did any Prince. Because Prince, the estate of Prince said, Prince said no. The estate of Prince maybe, they don't care. They're just cashing in on the guy. But the original TAFCAP, he wasn't. He said no, you can't do that. Now there is an exception: you're allowed to use things for telling the news. And that's kind of what I do. And that's what they do on things like Saturday Night Live and a lot of these other shows. So if you're doing something that is political satire, if you're doing something that of something that is current or something that has happened, then you can get away with it. But I haven't come across any case law where it's been tested. And I haven't got the funds to test it, which is a bit of a shame. So I just kind of keep my head down and just do what I do. But definitely you can, with some of my other more original material, that's fine. And I use other people's, steal other people's jokes and put it to other people's chord progressions with my own melody, my own kind of writing that fits. And, as a result, that's a good little niche I found. Now I haven't monetized it very, excuse me, cut. No, I haven't monetized it very well, save through the No Agenda show, and I earned a little bit of money over the Christmas break from the Christmas album, which I was able to help mate out with an Instanite loan, and I'm slowly sort of paying. He hasn't fixed me up with that yet, but that's all right. I'm paying it back through the show through donations. I was hoping to do a one big Kylie the Keeper Insta Dame donation for her, but. That's all through the show. But there is another thing I've been working on. I've got this. This is the wrong guitar for this. But that's all right. I might pull it out later. But I've actually been working on a series of songs. Which would be, if you took the Blues Brothers, love those guys, the band, the old Stax Records guys, yeah. They were fantastic. So if you took the Blues Brothers band, you took Spinal Tap, classic, bit of Bad News in there as well. That's Aid Edmonds and Nigel Planner, Rick Mayall. I can't remember the fourth guy. He wasn't, it wasn't Mike from the Young Ones, but it was basically the guys from the Young Ones, doing a series of, half hour skits. Well, not skits, it's half hour little sort of comedies. And, that's definitely worthwhile checking out. They actually released an album produced by Brian May. It is brilliant. It's called, the band's called Bad News. There's two episodes of the Comic Strip Theatre Presents. And look those guys up. Another band, Steel Panther. So what I thought is, what would happen if Steel Panther were like me and too old to play anything cool except the blues? Which is about all I can play. That's cool. If I do country, okay, yeah. Smooth jazz is lame. If I'm playing, you know, like hip hop, as I said, I can't rap. I said to Mo, I can't rap. I can't even rap. Spelled WRAP, which is rapping with white privilege. So anyway, it was a working project where a once not quite so successful band reforms to go and play the blues, because that's all that they're, you know, that's all that they're really left that they can do that's kind of cool. And so I've written a bunch of tunes around that, like I'm Only In It for the Sex.
God.
Yeah, what is it? There's there's Blues in A Flat. I'm singing the blues in A flat because I can't afford a house, don't you see? There's a song I wrote, a country song. I did write a country song. And there's a whole bit behind that, and I wrote the song just so I could use the bit. It's called Life Is Good. I don't know why I'm singing country. My dog is still alive. My wife, she been faithful. Our children, number five. And yes, she's still good looking. Life's been good to me. With a home here in the Hamptons and one in Waikiki. Well, I got money in the bank. My stocks, they're doing great. Bought back at the bottom after selling midway. The accountant says no worries with the IRS. I ain't gonna get no hassles. I got my friends in Congress. Well, my daughter's been through Harvard, my son, they've been through Yale. No trouble with no police, ain't never posted bail. But still I'm singing country, but it's time to go. But not before I play you one more guitar solo. Anyway, I can do a solo after that, but... You get the idea.
I was going to say that's Johnny Cash.
Yeah, but Johnny Cash, that's what people have said to me, but Johnny Cash played the song in E.
Well, no, but it's the same. It's very...
Johnny Cash wrote really depressing songs about killing people and living in prison. That's about being happy.
Well, no, but I'm
Johnny
just saying
Cash
it. No,
but
it's
black.
It's a Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash wore blacks. I wear white on stage.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash is dead. I'm alive. He's finished with it. It's my go. Shut up.
No, but I'm just saying it's like Folsom Prison Blues is what the parody
is. Just a little bit. Yeah, look, it may or may not represent have some of that. But, you know, it's just three chords. It's just a straight blues. So, yeah.
Well, exactly.
Let the estate sue me.
Exactly.
I need the publicity.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks for listening to Phoneboy Speaks. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found.